Hi, welcome to episode 363 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott, and I miss race riots. Fight the power, people. Fight it. Today, Fantastic Four, 363 from April 1992. Interverse by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. Before I start, I just want to let you know that you can download other episodes of this podcast at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. And if you have any questions about the podcast, The Fantastic Four, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, look me up at Unicorn Believer. Never mind. I don't want to give that out. I don't want to give out my Twitter. So I guess from the title of this story, Interverse, they've decided that the Interverse wasn't such a good name for the Wooden Door universe, so they've changed it to Interverse. Last issue, Franklin and Sue were kidnapped and dragged back into the Interverse, or the Interverse, or the Wooden Door universe. And so this issue, Reed, Ben, and Johnny have to go rescue them. So inside this other universe, a portal opens up and Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, Johnny Storm, the Human Torch, and Ben Grimm, the Thing, enter the strange unknown universe wearing these really snazzy white vests over their FF uniforms. Reed calls them their oscillation jackets. I call them fabulous. These vests, not jackets by the way, they're vests. I don't know why he calls them jackets. They allow the three members of the FF to cross over the dimensional plane. They're immediately attacked by a group of barbarian warriors flying on huge reptilian wing creatures and firing sophisticated charged particle beam weapons at the three intruders. Ben starts tossing these guys around. Reed grabs the gun out of one of their hands. Johnny burns a couple more guns while yelling at them. You people made a serious mistake when you crossed the Fantastic Four, especially if you've hurt my sister or my nephew. Ben pounds on the ground really hard, and seven of the warriors go flying through the air. They wisely realize that whoever these strangers are, they should not be fucking with them, and they run their asses away. Reed has an encephalograph with him, and what does an encephalograph do? Well, what do you think it does? It graphs encephalo waves, and if you don't know what encephalo means, it's something relating to the brain. So anyway, Johnny notices that the sky is filled with jewels, which Reed says is a meteorological manifestation similar to the rings of Saturn. Only on Saturn, the rings are made out of chunks of candy, making it the most delicious planet in our solar system. Inside the city, we see that Sue has been shackled and blindfolded. Did they somehow turn off her powers? How did these stupid barbarian assholes capture her in the first place? We never saw that. We kind of missed it. It was done off-panel. Franklin is being carried by one of the warriors on the back of a big flying creature, and Wild Blood himself is also shackled and being led through town with Sue and Franklin. The citizens think that Sue and the others are enemies of the Gym Guild. I guess Wild Blood is an enemy of the Gym Guild as well. One dude calls Sue a stinking traitor and tosses a mud ball at her face. Sue's worried that if she uses her powers to lash out, they might hurt Franklin. So right away, they take the prisoners to the palace of the city's leader. That makes sense, right? You get arrested for a crime in the United States, they immediately take you off to meet the president. The captain of the guards thinks their master will shower them with riches and glory. Yes, fortune and glory, kid. Fortune and glory. But the leader shows up and says that the captain is assuming too much. Oculus is his name, and he alone will decide on the value of their deeds. Oculus has one good eye and one mechanical eye. Hence the name, but Oculus, of course, I suppose. The captain apologizes and presents Oculus with three prisoners and the gem stolen by Wild Blood. But since it was the captain's job to protect the gems in the first place, Oculus is not inclined to reward him. Instead, with that mechanical bionic eye of his, he zaps the captain into oblivion. But instead of zapping Wild Blood, too, Oculus plans to have a little fun with him, first by placing him into the Crypt of Anguish, which I'm guessing is not a fun place. Wild Blood replies that his pain will only strengthen his resolve to destroy Oculus. Sue speaks up and tells him that she and her son aren't even from around there. They got nothing to do with this Wild Blood fella. But they don't believe her, and they sense that Franklin has some kind of great powers, which may be useful to them. One of them holds a gem near Franklin, and it shatters, much to the chagrin of Oculus and his men. Oculus immediately draws his sword, saying the child is a threat and a menace. But Oculus's lady friend, Landa, steps in and says to let the child live. They may be able to exploit his powers. Sue yells out, "Franklin, hit the deck now!" Franklin falls to the floor as Sue uses a force field to push back everyone in the room, but Oculus recovers quickly and zaps Sue with his bionic eye, knocking her out. Meanwhile, outside the city, beside this big green tank-looking war wagon, a guy named Jerok finds a gem on the ground. This lady there tells him that he should turn the gem into the Gem Guild. It's a law. Jerok says that if they could only power up this war wagon, the Gem Guild would be in no position to mess with them. The lady says that would be treason. But Jerok says it's the pursuit of liberty. Suddenly, Ben Grimm pops up over the ridge, yelling at them, saying, "Booga, booga, booga," causing all these people to pee their pants and flee for their lives. So, with this group of young aliens gone, Reed says that from the way they were talking, the gems in the sky are some kind of power source. Surprisingly, they keep on walking by that war wagon toward the city. The war wagon really doesn't come into play in this story, but we see that from not far away, they're being watched by some kind of guard. Back in the catacombs of the castle, Castle Oculus, Wild Blood and Sue are being led down to the dungeon by the guards. Wild Blood has a lockpick hidden on his person, and he takes it out with his teeth. He picks the lock. He's very talented, this guy. And he's free of his shackles. He attacks the guard, beating the shit out of him. He figures that the enemy of his enemy must be his friend, so he lets Sue free, too. They run up the stairs and right outside the castle. They find a group of sky serpents tied up, and Wild Blood is pleased. He hops on one and asks Sue to join him, but she says that she can't leave. She's got to go back and get her son. So Wild Blood decides, hey, he's going to stay and help her. Yeah, right. He says, good fortune to you, wench, and he flies away. I hope that's the last we see of him, but it's not. Back with Oculus, he and his people are thinking about what to do with Franklin. One guy, Dangor, says that they can use this kid as a matrix, a bridge to the power supreme, to help them harness the power of the gemstones floating in the skies. Landa has other ideas. She tells Oculus that Dangor's ideas are dangerous and could lead Oculus to death and destruction and could be a risk to the child. Of course, just a minute ago, she said that they could exploit the child's power. Oculus disagrees with his lady friend and decides that anything he can do to increase his power will be good for the kingdom. A guard comes in and tells everyone that Wild Blood and the woman have escaped. Landa puts a hand on Oculus, who pushes her back and says, unhand me, woman! Bloody work needs to be done. Oh, wait, I didn't realize the people of the universe were English. Okay. Oculus says, unhand me, woman! Bloody work needs to be done! Back outside, Reed and the others see Wild Blood flying on that sky serpent. Reed reaches up and grabs the creature's neck and Wild Blood falls off, right into Ben's waiting arms. Reed wants to know where his wife and son are. Wild Blood isn't inclined to offer any information, asking, why should I? Johnny says, because you're surrounded. And Wild Blood replies, I think not. And they look up and they see that they're surrounded by Wild Blood's people. Back inside, Sue is walking around invisible, and she finds Oculus and the others hooking her son up to some kind of contraption to serve as a matrix for that gem power. Oculus, however, has that special bionic gem eye thing, and he's able to see Sue. She turns visible and starts attacking Oculus and the others with her force fields. He tries to fire his eye beams at Sue, but she blocks him with her force fields. She starts to cut off Oculus's air supply, but that asshole Dangor puts a knife to Franklin's neck and tells her to back off. So Sue hits Dangor with a force field, and this gives Oculus an opening. He's able to zap Sue, knocking her out. Oculus says that the ceremony will continue, even though Landa begs her man to not harm the child. He replies, I see no child here, only a tool. Sounds like my father. He turns on the machine and Franklin gets zapped with the energy. Back outside, the city starts to glow, and Reed and the others wonder what the hell is going on. Reed pulls out his brainwave scanner and notices that Sue seems fine, but Franklin has ceased all brain activity. He concludes that either his device is malfunctioning, or his son is dead. I'm guessing it's neither, but we can always hope, can't we? But we'll have to wait until next issue, because this issue is come to an end. So long, kids, this podcast is over.